been great to hear testimony. It's been great to praise God together, to pray together. It only makes sense, though, if we hear from God, if we have heard from God. It's all shaped around what God says to us. So it's very important now, as we have an opportunity to read and then think about God's word to us. Let's pray for God to help us as we do that. Lord, speak to us now from your word through God the Holy Spirit. Give us light. Give us life. Show us the truth. Show us our hearts. Compel us to want to know you and love you and serve you. For your glory. Amen. Amen. Verse 38 of Luke 10 says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What's the most essential thing in life? A morning cup of coffee? A friend? A house? A car? What's the most essential thing? What's the most important thing? Maybe it's love. Our lives are full of so many non-essential things, aren't they? I was hearing an item this week about straws. Anyone here? There was a big kind of campaign one of the days this week to do with straws. Plastic straws, we use them for maybe a maximum of 5 minutes, and they take 500 years to break down. Useful for a moment, certainly not essential, and rather clog up our lives. And that's like many things in our lives. They help us for a moment, or maybe a bit longer, but they end up perhaps just clogging up our lives, distracting us from the most important things, and in some way polluting our lives. And really, there's only one point for the sermon this morning, the Bible talk this morning, and the one point is this. We only need to listen to Jesus. We definitely need to listen to Jesus. Perhaps that's not surprising that Christians would say that. We definitely, absolutely, 100% need to listen to Jesus. But actually, we only need to listen to Jesus. Ultimately, it's all we need to do for a truly good life. We just need to listen to Jesus, and we only need to listen to Jesus. We need to get rid of distractions. We need to get rid of all those things that are salvation substitutes, things that we think save us, however we define saving. We might not define salvation in a God way. We might just think it's salvation from illness or poverty or ignorance or hatred. But however we define salvation, there are all kinds of things that we think will save us, salvation substitutes. But actually, we only need to listen to Jesus. But also, we need to listen to Jesus rather than trying to be religious, rather than trying to please God by the good things that we do, rather than trying to earn the right for God to love us. You see, as Amy so eloquently said, and it would be true of all of us, "I know I'm not good enough for God." That's not something to devalue people. That's not something to give them a rotten identity about themselves. That's the reality of our position before God. But the wonderful thing is that it doesn't matter. We haven't been asking Amy, "Just try harder. Just do more sit-ups, press-ups, run a bit further, and then we'll let you into our club." No. We say all you've got to do is listen to Jesus. Because God loves us for who we are, where we are. And this simple story tells us it's not about what we do. It's not about the things that might distract us. It's just about listening to Jesus. Are we ready for that? Let's have a look then at the story itself. First of all, Jesus is welcomed. Jesus is traveling, verse 38, on his way to Jerusalem. We know that. He's on his way to be crucified. And on his way there, his determined way there, he gets invited to a home that appears in other parts of the Bible as well, in the book that John wrote. This couple are there as well with their brother Lazarus. So he goes to the home of Martha, and then her sister Mary is mentioned. And it says that Martha opened her home to him. And that is an expression for she showed hospitality, she gave honor to him. It's a sign that this family wanted to be associated with Jesus. They wanted to be in some way followers of Jesus. They're what you might call would-be disciples. And what happens? Verse 39. She has a sister called Mary, and Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. That's a nice, quaint picture, and you probably immediately kind of conjure one up as I've said those words, or you heard them read. You think of somebody speaking in your lounge or something, and someone's leaning against the sofa and kind of listening in, eating a packet of crisps or something like that. It may be that, but to any Jewish person thinking about this scene, it was more than just a sort of an informal sit on the floor and listen. It was the attitude, the position of a disciple. You see, Jewish teachers then, they would be seated themselves, and the people listening to them would be seated on the floor around them. So what Mary is doing is saying, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to listen to Jesus. I want to listen to all that Jesus has to say. We don't know what Jesus said to her. We know some of the things that Jesus has been saying because we've been looking at them over the past few weeks. We know that Jesus has been talking about his mission. We know that he said, I came here not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many people. And he's explained that when he gets to Jerusalem, he will be arrested, he will be tried, he will be crucified, and then he will rise again. And the purpose of that death will be to accomplish something amazing, which is the salvation, the forgiveness, new life for his people. I reckon he said some of that to Mary, don't you? I'm sure he also talked about, okay, so if you want to follow me, a free, forgiven, loved person, this is how you need to live. This is how you need to show it. And he's speaking these words, and Mary is listening and listening and drinking it in. What do we see then? Martha gets mad. Martha gets mad. Verse 40, she's distracted with all the preparations, and finally she bursts out, don't you care? Tell her to sort her life out and come and help me in the kitchen. That's kind of what she says. And as I said that, you thought, I've said that, or I've heard that. All of us as husbands or wives have had the other half in the kitchen cooking. We've got friends around, and where, let's say it's me, just as an exception or unusual example, but let's say it's me who's out in the lounge chatting with the friends, trying to discipline the dog and stuff, and someone else is away in the kitchen, and finally they come through and burst out and say, can't you even lay the table or something? And you say, sure, in a minute. And as I tell you this story, you're kind of saying, you know what? She's got a point, Martha, isn't she? And in that culture, actually, Martha had even more of a point because it was like a really big thing to invite someone to your home. You had to make a good show of it. You had to make a good meal. You had to do a good job. And so in that culture, it would have been considered a rude thing not to provide decent grub. And you're thinking, well, Mary's obviously a bit of a dreamer. You know, there's carrots that need peeling and vegetables that need chopping and bread that needs kneading and cushions that need plumping up, and you could sweep the dining room and all those things, and all you're doing is this passive thing. You're just sitting there listening. What's the matter with you? And Martha feels that, and you're kind of half feeling that, and that's why this is in the Bible, because it's supposed to be there to give you a bit of a jolt and to say, okay, in general, sure, Help your wife. Help your husband. Serve people. Show hospitality. There's loads of stuff in the Bible about showing hospitality. But for this one moment, there is something more important. And in the end, the one thing more important is the only thing that's important. Can you see that? That's why it's supposed to be shocking and jar you and say, oh, I want to be with Martha. But actually, the most important thing is listening to Jesus. And maybe it sounds dull. And maybe it sounds non-essential. And maybe some nice lamb chops or something sound more interesting than listening to Jesus. But I tell you what, listening to Jesus is the most important thing. And it is the essential thing. And it is the life-giving thing. And it is the life-transforming, changing thing. And it is the only thing that you need. And that's the point that's being made by this shocking story. And so gently, affectionately, Jesus replies to Martha and says, Martha, Martha. We know that when you say things twice, you're trying to calm things down. You're trying to show affection. You're trying to show that you know the person. You're trying to show empathy. And he does that. He says, you are worried and upset about many things. I understand your point, Martha. I get it. I do get it. I understand. You're distracted. All these things are happening around you. It's a rubbish day for you. You're all flustered. You've got your apron on. You've got flour all over it. Your hands are dirty. It's all going wrong. I understand, Martha, but listen. There's only a few things in life that you actually need. And now, actually, there's only one. And Mary, at this moment in time, has made the right decision. Jesus says, Mary has chosen, the end of verse 42, what is better. If you're looking for life essentials, Mary, at this moment in time, has chosen what is better. And Jesus says, I'm not going to take that from her. I'm not going to take my word from her. I'm not going to stop talking to her. I'm not going to deny her this moment to listen to the word. Because that's what she really needs. That's what the story says. And it's a great story for us to think about this morning on the day of this baptism. Let's think about some lessons. Let me say that this story is not an excuse for an untidy, inhospitable home. I don't mind if you have an untidy home. I'm more concerned if you have an inhospitable home. But it's not a story that says you need to be so super spiritual and cerebral, think a lot and read a lot and contemplate a lot, that when people come round, you just don't care about them. You say, oh, hi, I'm just reading a book. You just make your way in. I think there's some bread in the thing. It might have a bit of mold on. And maybe, you know, help yourself to the toaster and you know, there's a kettle around the corner there. And I'll just carry on reading. That's not the point of the story. As I've tried to show, it's a shocking story to try and make a particular point at a moment in time. It's not about that, because that's just turning it into a silly lore. It's not about saying, well, being a contemplative character is better than being a doer. You know, it's better to be a thinker than a doer. Some of you are thinkers, some of you are doers, some of you are both, some of you are neither. I think that covers everybody, doesn't it? But this is not trying to make a point about what kind of character you ought to be. We're just supposed to think ourselves into the story. Not about a lesson of hospitality, but just think ourselves into the story and say, I know who I'd rather be, but I know who I sometimes am. I know who I'd rather be, but I know who I sometimes am. I'd rather be like Mary, but I know I'm quite like Martha. I want to save myself and I want to distract myself. So, lessons are, first of all, the one thing we need to be saved is to listen to Jesus. The one thing we need to be saved is to listen to Jesus. You may define salvation in many different ways, but I want to define it in the Bible's way, which is like this. To be saved is to avoid the just punishment of God because you've chucked him off the throne. To be saved is to be in loving relationship with the God of the universe who controls and owns everything. To be saved is to be given life after death, a perfect life, an endless life. To be saved is to be safe in the arms of God. That is what it is to be saved in the way that the Bible describes it. And to be saved in those terms, to be saved like that, there's only one thing you need, and that's to listen to the word of Jesus. Listen to the word of Jesus as he tells you, I love you. As he speaks to you and says, I am dying for people like you, anyone who will put their trust in me. I am dying. I am giving my life for you so you can live with me. It's listening to the words of Jesus who says, I'm just calling you to follow me. Yes, there will be sacrifice. Yes, there will be suffering. But it will end in glory. It will end in eternal life. And even right now, in the depths of suffering, sacrifice, there is joy that no one can take away. No one will take it away from you. And to be saved is to listen to the words of Jesus as he says that. You see, you might think, if only I owned, if only I could, if only I had this person in my life or out of my life, if only the kids were happy, if only I could get through this exam, if only I could have a better Friday night plan, if only I had a better group of friends who accepted me, if only I could get laid, if only I could get out of Hayward's Heath, if only I could get this thing that I really want, if only I could have these things, I would feel better. But listening to the words of Jesus truly saves us. You might think you need a bit more pleasure in your life. Well, the piece of news this week was the death of Hugh Hefner, wasn't it? Some people are critiquing him. Some people are saying he was kind of a hero of free speech. Others an exploiter of women and ultimately men as well. But he certainly lived the dream, didn't he? He lived the dream that he portrayed in those magazines, the idea of sex on tap, every pleasure, nothing denied. Is that salvation? Is that the salvation that you'd want? It's what people desire, but will it save you? Will it bring you happiness? Will it bring you fulfillment? Will it bring you life? Will it bring you to God? Is it the one thing that you need? But maybe you think, no, I'm not pleasure-seeking. I'm much better than that. My life is about serving others. I've lived a life of virtue. I was meeting someone this week in a building called Terry Wogan House. And Terry Wogan was a virtuous chap, by all accounts. He lived faithfully with his wife, I think. He raised lots of money for charity, and he was very cheerful early in the morning, which is clearly an attribute to be admired. And you think, well, you know, I'm a bit like old Terry, you know, do my bit for charity. I try and be good. I try and be faithful. I try and be loving. I'm not serving pleasure. I'm more of that kind of character. But to be saved, to be safe, you only need to listen to Jesus. Maybe you think you can do enough to put yourself right with God. Maybe if you just did a bit more, God would love you more. Maybe if you got your life under control, but no. God says, that's never enough. But here's what is enough. Listen to what I'm saying. I was hearing something yesterday, maybe the day before, about soap and water. I caught a cold this week. I hope you're hearing my cold, and how heroically I am powering through it. Can you hear that in my voice? Okay, let's now over top the mic. It was interesting because I was at a conference somewhere and a couple of other people had colds, streaming colds, worse than mine. And I shook hands with one of them at the end and I could feel the germs passing through. It was like this light that came up through my thing and I could feel it. And I'd just been to the loo and I thought, oh, is it really awkward if I go to the loo again and wash my hands? But you know, because it's kind of embarrassing, you know, shake hands, I'm going to the loo now. Again, I've just come out of the loo, but I'm going back in the loo. And I didn't, and I caught the cold. And what I was hearing as a news item this week is that in order for germs not to spread, you need to wash your hands with soap for as long as it takes to sing Happy Birthday to you, the whole thing, all the way through. You know, Happy Birthday to... Oh, twice, is it? Yeah. I remember now, I did hear that bit. At first they said once, and then they did say twice. But so all of you guys do that, I guess. It reminded me about Pilate. You know, Pilate is the guy who's in charge of Judea, and he crucifies Jesus under pressure from the Jews. And what he tries to do is to wash his hands publicly in front of them to say, this is nothing to do with me. And maybe he sung Happy Birthday 10 times and used lots of really super anti-back soap and washed his hand thoroughly in front of them. But you know what? It didn't take the guilt away. The guilt for crucifying Jesus, but the guilt for being someone who's dethroned God. And whatever you do, it's like Pilate washing his hands in front of the crowd. It'll never take away your guilt. But there's one thing that will. And there's no effort involved. It's just faith. It's just saying, Jesus, I'm listening. I'm listening when you say it's a gift. I'm listening when you say, I died for you. I'm listening when you say, just come and follow me and have life. I'm listening for salvation. And this morning, we rejoice that Amy has listened to Jesus. And I invite you, whoever you are, whether you've been in church hundreds of years, for a long time. Sorry, a little bit poetic license. Whether you've been in church a long time, for example, 80 years, or whether you just come for the first time today. You've never been in a church before except for weddings and funerals and short speeches. Listen, Jesus is saying to you this morning, you might not know much, just listen to me. I'm telling you, I've got the one thing you need. Just listen to me. This is a great day to put your trust in Jesus. The one thing you need to be saved is to listen to Jesus. The one thing you need to be a disciple is to listen to Jesus. It's the second, it's the last thing we're going to think about in terms of lessons. The one thing you need to keep going as a disciple, to keep going loved, fulfilled, living for God, what's the one thing you need to do? Is it to do lots of good Christian-y stuff? Is it to have loads of Christian friends? Is it to read loads of Christian books? They might be great things to do. Here's the one thing you need to do. It's not difficult, because it's like a super easy sermon this morning. The one thing you've got to do. What's the one thing you've got to do you reckon, to keep going as a disciple? Listen to Jesus. I reckon so. Listen to Jesus. Because Mary and Martha, as would-be disciples, all they got to do, the one thing they need to do, is to listen to Jesus. I know you're going to think in a minute, he said that too many times. But maybe by Wednesday this week, you'll think, oh, I can still remember that in God's goodness. Because that's what it's about. Not just becoming a Christian, you need to listen to Jesus, but keeping going as a Christian. So here's the thing. Make listening to Jesus the priority in your life. The priority over everything in your life. You see, Christians, there's lots of straws in our lives as well. Many things that will distract you from listening to Jesus. I was hearing about a top 5 fund manager in London, one of the top 5, I think top 3 actually, performing funds, and he's a fund manager for that fund, and he works in London. And his plan is that he refuses to turn any electronic device on in the morning until he's read the Bible and prayed. Now, some of you are a bit stuffed because you have the Bible on your phone, but you get the idea. And we don't want to turn that into a law and say, yeah, everyone should do that, or they're not a proper Christian. Because that's going back to trying to be like Martha, do lots of serving to please Jesus. But so we don't want to make it into a law, but it shows someone who's really grasped, what's my priority? I want to listen to Jesus. And you say, well, I'm a busy mum. Find time to listen to Jesus. I've got a demanding job. Find time to listen to Jesus. My shift patterns mean I've got no routine. There's no one time in the day when I can listen to Jesus. Find time. I'm exhausted. I just want to kick back. I want to have a glass of wine. I want to watch the TV until I sleep. I just want to unwind. I want to do something relaxing. Listen to Jesus. It's the one thing that you need to do to keep going. In God's goodness, you'll have time to make some food and look after your kids and watch a film and unwind and do all those things and mow the lawn. You will, because God is a generous God. But look, make it your big priority. I want to listen to Jesus. Make it your priority that you want to read the Bible a little bit or a big bit every day, and you want to pray to God every day. Thank him, praise him, glorify him, ask him. And make it a priority to say, the way God's organized things in the world and in the church is that we gather like this, and we have a look at the Bible, we read it, we preach it, we talk about it. Make it a priority to say, I want to listen to Jesus, so I'm going to get here. You know, my kid's doing ballet, I want to get here. You know, I want to go to this thing, I'm going to get here, because I want to be here. Because I want to listen to Jesus. Because I want to be like Mary. Because she is superb in this example. Listening to Jesus takes priority over every hobby, over living every dream, over giving your kids the best experience that everyone else has, on finishing up your box sets. I'm on a bit of a mission now because Adam's cancelled Netflix because he's left our home. And I've got a month now to watch every single box set on Netflix. So can you help me with that? Can you watch some of them for me? Then I don't have to watch them all. But is that my priority in life? It is. If it is, what am I doing? I'm a Martha. I'm distracted by many things, but there's only one thing I need. I need to listen to Jesus. Now, this is not saying spend all day contemplating, spend all day reading the Bible, but here's the thing. Make it a priority to read the Bible on your own, a priority to gather with God's people Sundays and during the week to say, I want to listen to Jesus. It's the one thing you need to be a disciple is to listen to Jesus. Listening to Jesus must take priority over your life. Listening to Jesus must take priority over serving in the church. It must take priority even over serving in the church. And this is a very important lesson. You see, there's a danger that we're so close to understanding the right thing that we're involved in church work and we're a bit like a Martha. We kind of understand that Jesus saves us, but we're thinking, I need to do lots of churchy stuff and God will love me a bit more. And actually, if I'm doing loads of churchy stuff, I can kind of use the reservoir of Bible knowledge that I have. When I first started driving around, I had a motorcycle, a Yamaha FS1E. Which was an unrestricted 50cc, someone smiled because they actually had one, an unrestricted 50cc moped. And there was loads of engineering went into making 50cc's go at 50 miles per hour. It's very exciting. It doesn't happen now with them because they've got governors and stuff. But the excitement of that particular bike, apart from the fact that it'd go fast, and I crashed into another car in actually because it went so fast, but the exciting thing was it has a reserve tank. And I used to go a sort of evening class in Lewisham, and sometimes on the way home your main tank would run out, so you'd be sort of, you know, rawr, up the hill somewhere and the tank would be empty and so the thing would just die. But you had this little switch that you kind of valve that you switched around and it moved something down in there, and you had a little bit more. You had a reserve tank that would maybe get you home, but the excitement was, would it get you home or not? I like living like that now. I always go like till it's 50 miles and down and down and down because it reminds me of those days. Some of you, when it gets halfway down, you have to fill up, don't you? Because it's like, oh, I can't bear it. I might run out of petrol. And that's good. There's different kinds of people. We're all different. The Bible is not telling you to be one person or another. But some of you are just running on reserve in terms of your Bible knowledge and kind of experience of listening to Jesus. You switched over to the reserve tank. You might be doing loads in the church, but you're not drinking in anymore. You're not filling up anymore. And this story is a great wake-up call to say, fill up the tank. Run around with a full tank. Listen to Jesus. Service flows from salvation. Service is not a substitute for time to listen to God's word, to listen to it alone, to listen to it in our families. Serve in the church as God directs you, but never make it a substitute for gathering, for listening, for reading, for praying. If there's one thing that gets on your bucket list, make sure it's listening to Jesus. The one thing that will save you is listening to Jesus. Without Jesus, you're ultimately lost. With him, you have everything you need.